everybody, and welcome to the True Crime Squad. This is Katie Weaver. I'm here with my sister, co-host, and partner in crime, Christy Brower. Hello.
Hello. Hey, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Whew. Yeah, happy Wednesday. Happy day 16 of court. Yeah, here we are. And what a day it was.
Oh, goodness. It's been quite a day. Really a challenging day.
Yeah. So, yeah. So otherwise, how are you?
I am good. My head hurts. I was at my plasma infusion this morning, during court, and it always kind of knocks me down for a day or so. And then this afternoon, I've just been fighting internet problems, trying to get stuff made for tonight. So, you know, I'm a little stressed, honestly.
Yeah. Christy's internet is picking a really bad time to misbehave. So we're working around it the very best we can.
Yes. Yes. But then and I have fiber like this. I normally have absolutely killer internet. So This is so annoying.
Yeah, totally. Very frustrating. I know. I'm jealous of your internet, and now mine's carrying the day. And well, right? This morning before court even started, it crashed and Christy had to pick us up from the doctor's office.
Yeah, I did for a while. I don't, what the hell's going on, man?
Well, Mercury's retrograde and goes direct tomorrow morning.
Oh, thank God. Oh,
you know, whether you believe or you don't, for me, when Mercury's retrograde towards the very end of it is when it puts up a little fight on its way out the door.
Oh, so yeah. In all my years of producing internet radio, that's, I don't necessarily buy into like everything that goes wrong is due to Mercury, but when it comes to communication mess ups, I totally do.
It's right there.
We would have major tech problems whenever that happened. So, well, yeah, and the court has had a bunch of it too.
Yeah, the judge called it tech gremlins today.
Yes.
And he judge, was right. Judge, it's Mercury.
Here's my kitty Sandy trying to, you know, ease the stress, I think.
Right. She needs to be a part of all of the good stuff. Yep.
Yes. What? So. My baby kitty was born today.
You're kidding. Oh.
Yeah. So normally I always have all of my animals are rescues, but our cousin decided to try her hand at having Persian babies, and Mama had three babies today.
Oh, I'm
and
so
one
happy.
Of them is ours, and I'm so excited.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So when I get good pictures, all I have are like slimy, wet pictures that are not very good.
So cute. Yeah.
But when I have better pictures, I will definitely share them because, oh, so sweet. I'm so excited. We're going to train her to be a traveling cat. So she'll be harness trained and she'll be able to like ride in a backpack and go in our motorhome and stuff. Because our older kitties definitely are not down for that. But our dogs are. So we want
all the luck, because I was going to train my pigs to be traveling pigs, and you saw how well that worked out.
Yeah, not good.
I see not these other people walking their pigs on harnesses. You put my pigs on a harness, and they act like you're trying to haul them off to market. So I hope
they literally sound like they're being slaughtered.
Yeah,
the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's horrifying. So I'm wishing you all the luck and hoping that your little kitty, you know, travel trains a whole lot better.
Yeah. I'm hoping so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Sanuela wants to know why we're talking about Geminis. We were just talking about Mercury in retrograde, and some people were saying they were Geminis. Apparently, there's a lot of Geminis in the house. Yeah.
Apparently.
I'm a Cancer. Chris is a Sag.
I'm a Sagittarius.
Yeah. All right. Well, should we get into it? Because holy hell, do we have a lot to talk about?
We figured
we were going to see, I thought we might see the deputy, coroner first, but no, we saw the coroner, Brenda Dye, on the stand first thing this morning, and it went just about the way I thought it would.
Yeah, it was rough.
It was rough. As we know, Brenda was just doing her job within the scope of the job she has, but mistakes were made. Maybe not. I mean, it's just, it is what it is.
I mean, you have to admit your that they lied their asses off to her. Mm-hmm. Her family.
And the police, to all of them.
To all of them, about Tammy's health, mm-hmm. and about that she was just fading away. You know, mm-hmm. the anemia. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was going to die, but I wasn't dying. I was fine. I just was really weak. I got two iron infusions and I feel like $1 million.
Yeah.
So this whole, but did you know about the anemia thing makes me want to fire right in the nuts.
And did you know that it can't be cured? It's not cured. It's just treated occasionally if it needs to be.
It really depends on the cause of the anemia and what kind of anemia it is. Mr. Mm-hmm. You're not a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Man, he was
I saw a blood doctor. Out. I think I know more than Pryor does about anemia.
I would say you do. He went all out today in trying to put words in people's mouths. Just generally being an asshole. Wow.
Man.
So
and it went on forever. I was like, my God, can they just please let poor Brenda off the stand?
Right. He just kept going over the same stuff over and over, trying to get her to say something different.
The
worst part is, well, I don't know if this is the worst part, but one of the things that was very aggravating is that he doesn't know how to say lividity, and he said lapidity about 1,000 times. Let's hear it.
Yeah, let's do. Sorry, I'm trying to sneeze. Whew. Phew. Okay. Sorry. Where'd that go? I'm slow. I'm an idiot. Where's lapidity? The hell? It was here earlier. I played it a whole bunch of times. Why can't I find it now?
Yeah.
Give me a moment.
Okay, keep going. Well, I'll let you work on that and I'll keep going. Alrighty. So yeah, that was annoying. And frankly, I did kind of wish that she would stop him and say, I'm sorry. I don't know what lapidity is.
I know. I really and wanted her to.
Make him fix that because that was stupid. Right? However, whenever he does aggravating things like that, you know there's someone on the jury that wants to snap him in half right now because they hate it when people mispronounce. The thing is, I'm going to bet that most of those jurors are 10 times smarter than he is. And all of the misnames that he keeps saying, all of the missed words and things, they're hearing it. Yeah.
It's just incredibly aggravating. If you are, and I am I a snob for this? Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. Gosh damn it. Why do I not have it? I played it so many times.
I know. That's weird. Well, and then in the very beginning, when Wixom asks her about lividity, and Pryor objects that he's going to need some foundation as to how she knows what the word lividity means.
The coroner. God, right?
For hell's sake. Are you serious? So Wixom actually has to ask her, how do you know what lividity means? You can see it on Wixom's face like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
So in case you're wondering, it's the lowest point of the body of the blood pools when someone is no longer living. It looks like a bruise. That's what Brenda said. Basically, what she's saying is that Tammy's lividity was all in her back. And the reason that's, and her legs, like the bottom part of her. And in fact, she said her back, her bottom, her legs. I thought, that was very dignified of you, Brenda. Mm-hmm. But basically what she's trying to say, what they're trying to prove is that Tammy died on her back and was on her back until somebody yeeted her out of bed.
Yeah.
Which is what's true. That's what lividity is showing. That's what the ME is going to say. But the way lividity came up so many times and Pryor was trying so hard to prove and confuse the jury, I think, about what lividity means and what she was seeing, it was ridiculous. Yep.
It really was. And I'm sorry. Lapidity has left the building. And it's on my other computer and I cannot get to it. So well, I'm very sorry. So I don't know why. Okay. We know it was here. I played it all.
It's the tech gremlins. Yep. So, of course, you know, they went to the coughing fit. And Tammy about 12:30, had a terrible coughing fit and had to be got up and threw up and had to be helped back to bed by our hero Chad. Doing
that's
the
definitely
least.
You know death.
Mm-hmm. And you know these are all things we've heard before, but I don't think I heard at Lori's trial that the ME showed that Tammy had a tummy full of food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wasn't throwing up.
But the problem is, Brenda said her stomach was full of food or had full of contents, right?
Yes.
And then Pryor had to argue that because it wasn't full. Well, what's full? I mean, are we measuring this in cups, liters? Like, what the hell does that even mean?
Yeah, just being
the point is,
as usual.
If she threw up at 12:30 and died instantly after because she was had been dead, according to them, for 5 to 6 hours, how would she have had anything in her stomach?
She wouldn't have. She threw up and then she went and ate a meal? Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
If she threw up, she would have had nothing in her stomach. Mm-hmm. Such liars. Yeah. God.
That's what he was trying to. Pryor threw in there, though, something about, well, did you know that Garth bought her a Big Mac or a quarter pounder and French fries? And there was potato in her stomach? What are you trying to prove, John? That she didn't throw up?
Did she throw up or didn't she?
So what are you saying? You're saying that Garth went into town to McDonald's. Which, by the way, at that point, the only McDonald's that would have been open at 12:30 at night would have been clear on the other side of town from where they live. So Garth would have had to go into town and probably be gone 30 to 40 minutes by the time he came all the way in, went to the only McDonald's that would be open at that time on a Friday night, which that place is like, that's the only hangout in town. So that would have been a thing. And get her food and take it home to her and her eat it. So it was still in her stomach. Again, your timeline is shot to hell because that doesn't work at all. No. If she threw
up
at 12:30.
Mm-hmm. At midnight. So, I mean, yeah, the time does not, it doesn't track.
Right. It doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't track with the time of death at all. Mm-hmm. So their
also,
initial time
just,
of death.
Can I just share this?
I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, in case anybody wondered about John Pryor. He is an idiot.
When he said that today, I'm an
idiot. I do have that one. I have that one and I have this one.
I'm an idiot when it comes to electronics.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot when it comes to electronics.
Well, to say technology, not electronics.
I'm an idiot when it comes to electronics.
Yes, yes he is.
You could have stopped an idiot though, really. We know.
I know. Because he is constantly screwing up something with, you know, with tech.
But yeah, when he wanted to know if they found a quarter pounder in her stomach. No, honey, that's your stomach. Let's be real.
There's this thing called digestion. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So their back and forth went on for, oh my God, just a really long time. There was a part of me that wanted more objections for just the absolute badgering and bullshit that was going on. But at the same time, you know, I'm pretty much okay with Pryor continuing to step in it too. Because he just keeps kicking open doors that then he can't close. And opening the door for the prosecution to come back on redirect and ask all kinds of shit. So it's fine. Yeah.
Well, I think it is. Yeah, I think they let him kind of go amok a bit because then they get to talk about more things with her. But Jesus Christ, by the time it was over, I'm like, please let this woman go and drink or whatever the hell she needs to do after this.
Right. What have you asked if Brenda's LDS? She was raised LDS. I don't actually know if she's active or not. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. We aren't particularly close with that side of the family. I wouldn't say we're not like friendly with them, but you know,
we don't know each other super well.
Since this case started, we have not contacted Brenda. We've been super, super careful because we want to stay clean. We don't want to You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we're podcasting this case. We've been all over it. We knew she was the coroner and we knew we needed to stay away mm-hmm. and not talk to her at all because we're not going to muddy the waters. We know our place and it's not in the middle of shit. So we have stayed way back. Yeah. Now that she's done testifying, once this case is over, because who knows if she's done, they did not release her. Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Did they? Okay. So we'll mm-hmm. probably reach out to her now, but well, we'll definitely reach out to her now, but we've been standing way back. Just, you know.
Yeah. We don't want to put her in a great position.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Pryor made a big point of, well, I had subpoenaed Miss Dye, mm-hmm. but I'm going to release her from my subpoena today. It seems like it's yeah. an insult. I've heard him do it several times. And yeah. I think every person that hears that is like, thank God, you know, I don't have to talk to this moron ever again.
I'll bet yeah. she did. Good Lord. Yeah. yeah. Well, she was raised LDS, but we're not sure if she's how super active she is.
Yeah, we don't know.
I don't know that her family's super active, but like we said, where we live, it's a culture as much as a religion.
So, yeah.
Right. I know. I mostly, yes, Jess, I just want to pass on to her what a great job she did and that we're proud of her and we appreciate her. Yeah. yeah. Because after the last one, she received death threats.
She did.
After Lori's.
This is, and you know, and when we hear from the medical examiner, the medical examiner defends the shit out of her. Mm-hmm. Did in Tammy's trial. I bet he does it again.
Uh-huh.
About what an unfair situation she was put in and how much they lied to her and how much she's really not qualified to make that call.
Mm-hmm. And did her job. She did her due diligence. It's not that she didn't. She did. It's not mm-hmm. like they just instantly went, oh, you don't want an autopsy? Oh, she's just been sick? Okay. Off to the funeral home with you. No autopsy. That wasn't true. They held the body for mm-hmm. a little while they made a decision. You they know. Did. But
and it wasn't just her decision, it was a group decision. Yeah. And the detectives today mentioned said that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think she did as well as she could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So are we ready to move on from her?
I think so.
Today was the day that the girls came up big, and I am so yeah. proud of them.
Yes.
We said this in Lori's trial forever. We've said it talking to you guys. We want to hear from Tammy's colleagues, from the ladies she was exercising with. We want to hear from those guys. And by God, yeah. we got them today.
We and surely did.
So awesome. So we started out. Let's see. Well, we started out with Kelsey Harris.
Yeah.
So Kelsey Harris worked at the school. She worked in the lunchroom and was friends with Tammy, and they did clogging together.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is going to come as a really big surprise to you guys, but she said Tammy was very healthy, was a very active person, could mm-hmm. keep up with an hour-long clogging class like no problem. Do you know how long I could do clogging? I'm going to say about 6 seconds. That would be it.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's hard. And yep. really strenuous. Like, this is not, yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know who couldn't do clogging? John Pryor. That's
I think John Pryor got clogged right across the state today. She clogged all over his face.
She did, yeah.
And, you know, basically same thing, saying she saw Tammy daily and was absolutely shocked to hear that Tammy had passed because she was in such great shape. Yeah. She was great.
She was. Yeah. She was amazing. You want to hear her shoot down Pryor body shaming a murder victim?
Yeah.
Let's listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to disparage anybody, but would you describe Tammy's figure as being a body of someone who was extremely fit?
I would say she was a very fit woman.
You'd say she was a very fit woman. Okay.
I would.
John, are you effing kidding me?
Sit and spin, you bastard.
That was horrible. And yeah. if you think that the women on the jury didn't notice that, and the men, and didn't go, did that just happen?
Yeah.
So they were also going to a high-intensity class. High-intensity workout classes are just that. They are a ton yeah. of burpees and lunges and push-ups and jumping jacks and very, very high intensity stuff. They're not for the faint of heart. These are classes that I used to put my kid in so that he'd be ready to play football in the fall. Like, it's
right.
It's intense stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Tammy was there. But here's the really interesting part of every tale that her girls told today.
Yeah.
Her little sidekick was, as Pryor kept putting it, standing there. Emma worked at her school. Now, the lunch thing got interesting. We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. But because that was a lie, interestingly.
Yeah.
But Pryor kept saying, well, Emma was right there. Would it surprise you that Emma, apparently Emma was going to all these workout classes with Tammy, was right next to her. And is apparently prepared to say that her mother had really slowed down and was really struggling in the face of literally everyone else. And he's like, well, yeah. But Emma was right there. She was standing next to her. Was she, so or were was all she these exercising? Women. The classes had like 7 people in them. We're not talking about a giant group. We're talking about small groups of ladies that were getting together and working out in a grade school gym.
Yeah.
We're not talking about it at a big gym at a big facility or anything. We're just talking about some local ladies getting together. They absolutely noticed.
But also, and these women know each other. They work together. They go, they probably go to church together. They didn't say that, but I bet a lot of them do. Mm-hmm. And they were working out together. So they were seeing each other many times a week.
Uh-huh.
Many times.
Absolutely. Yep.
One of By the way, there's now 4 kittens.
Oh, dear God.
There's 4 now.
This is getting
I only exciting. Get one.
That's right. And I get 0. Let's be real clear. Mm-hmm. The lunch thing really got me because he hit all 3 of the ladies up about having lunch with her or seeing her at lunch. And wouldn't you say that Emma is who she spent most of her time with at school? Like trying to disparage these ladies because they're all like, yeah, I ate lunch with her every day. Well, wouldn't you say she ate lunch with Emma? Isn't Emma who she spent all of her time with? Didn't Emma and Tammy spend all of their time together? Well, I mean,
Emma
was a teacher. So no, she was teaching her class. Tammy was a librarian and was running the library.
Yeah.
But here's the best part of it. The second lady on the stand said, oh, well, no, because Emma's class had a later lunch. So they didn't have lunch together. They had a different time. Yeah. So that's a flat out lie.
Yeah. Also, you want to hear that very sweet lady defend Tammy from some more body shaming?
Yes.
So how would you evaluate, if you were to make a determination, would you say that Tammy Daybell was very fit?
Yes.
So she had a low body fat. She had a petite figure. Is that what you're telling me?
You don't have to have a low body fat or a petite figure to be highly fit. But when what I observed is that she had the stamina from the time she started to the fall that she passed. She had the stamina to be able to complete those rigorous workouts.
Okay. Judge.
Mm-hmm. Take that, jackass.
Mm-hmm. Petite? Do you understand what petite means, John?
Yeah.
Petite women
you don't change your bones when you get fit.
Jesus Christ. And the prosecutors are just over there going, he is just doing the hard work for us.
Right. And these women, man, they were having none of his shit. Mm-hmm. There was no, well, you would agree that, man. They did not agree. No. Mm-hmm.
So the second lady on the stand was Shanna Miller. And Shanna, again, was fantastic. Loved it. Mm-hmm. She worked at the school for 26 years. She'd worked with Tammy for a couple of years. Considered her to be a good friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, worked out with her. Did school with her. Had a lot of fun with her. Loved Tammy. And
didn't you feel like there were some maybe implications during these crosses of, well, I mean, you could tell that Chad didn't think they were good friends because they didn't hang out with him. Mm-hmm. Except, of course, they didn't, because he was a dick. And so she was out hanging out with him, out with her friends without him. Mm-hmm. He didn't know these women because he didn't know Tammy's life.
No. She's never even, you were never even at her house. So you were good friends. Are you sure about that? Bitch, they taught together.
Right.
You,
our mom was an elementary school teacher, and her friends were her dearest friends. Mm-hmm. Did they see each other out of school? Mostly not, because they saw each other all day at school.
Yeah.
But she dearly loved many of the people that she taught with.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't understand what he was up against with these teachers. They were taking no shit.
They were unwielding. You definitely heard a little teacher voice here and there, and definitely saw some teacher looks.
Yeah, it was great.
I hope that they high-fived each other all the way home, though I'm sure they weren't there together. But all three of them were just so good. Jennifer Geisler was the third. Mm-hmm. And she, too, just stood her own really, really well and just didn't put up with any shit. It was amazing. I was so proud of all three of them. But one of them said, this is the thing I've been waiting to hear. And again, I still really want to see her principal on the stand talk about her attendance record. Maybe we're not going to see that. I was really hoping for that. But so Tammy died basically over the night of the 18th into the 19th of October. Well, the 18th was a Friday. And guess who was at school that day? And guess who wasn't sick? And guess who after school was helping with the bus drop off and was out there chit-chatting with kids and teachers and parents and being the bubbly, happy, wonderful Tammy that she was.
Yeah.
They were.
Was she gravely ill? No, she fucking wasn't.
They were floored because they had no idea.
No.
When the story that Tammy had been sick, that just was not, it couldn't have been further from the actual truth. Yeah. No. Yeah. The one thing I want to go back to really quick, the very last thing that Brenda said, I forgot. So Pryor is doing that whole song and dance with the cupboards full of the supplements, the oils, the stuff. Tammy wouldn't go to the doctor. Motherfucker, if she won't go to the doctor, help me understand why she'd been at the doctor a couple weeks ago for having a fall and had a Tramadol prescription that was taken and gone. Also, help me understand how Tammy had an antidepressant if she was somebody that wouldn't go to the doctor.
Right.
Because that does not sound like someone who would go, not go to the doctor to me. But a revelation today, Garth had admitted to the police that they were sharing her antidepressant because he needed it. So was Tammy taking it at all? Or was she just filling it and giving it to Garth?
Right.
But also, the one thing they never say
don't do that. That's very dangerous with antidepressants. Yeah, no. Don't do that.
The other thing that I don't understand that I wish I could, you know, reach through and scream a question. Objection! Mm-hmm. Audience question. What's the date on the refill?
Yeah. Right. What is the date on the refill?
When was she actually ever picked this prescription up? That means everything.
Yeah, it does. But
anyway, so he'd, you know, been doing all the so many medicines and Tammy, you know, and all that stupid stuff, which is going to be blown out of the water with the talk screen anyway. It's just so dumb. But then when Wixom redirected, he suggested that perhaps Chad planted all those supplements and stuff
there. It was so good. And no one knows when those showed up.
Mm-hmm. Pryor tried to object. He was overruled. So then he came back out there strutting his stuff. He's such an idiot. Or he's not, and he thinks we are. But he said, you mean to tell me in the time that he found Tammy dead and the time that the police arrived, he ran to town, purchased all of these things, and set them up as if she'd been taking them? Well, no, Chad premeditated this. John.
Yeah.
So no one thinks that.
No.
And what did Brenda say? She said, it's happened before.
Awesome. Awesome. Said, awesome.
I have nothing further. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Because, right, goodbye. They can't prove who was taking any of that shit, because was it in Tammy's system? No, it was not.
Yeah.
Not also, yeah. Who laid all that shit out? It was like there was all this stuff sitting on a table and Chad was pointing it out to them all. She's so sick. Look at these essential oils.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, but if you're a person who uses essential oils,
yeah,
you use them for all kinds of things and it's not necessarily even illness to begin with.
Right. Well, like the Breathe, she had like a respiratory oil blend. I use a blend like that every single night under my nose to go to sleep because I sleep better.
I use one when I have a cold.
Yeah, not because I'm fading fast. But the other thing is that I don't know about your communities, but in ours, MLMs are huge here. And Young Living and doTERRA are huge here. Those are both Mormon-owned companies.
They're Mormon companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mormon women love MLMs. Love them.
Mm-hmm. And love essential oils.
And love essential oils. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'll admit I have hundreds of essential oils. Scott had to build me a whole apothecary box just for my oils. Yeah, oils are a big thing around here. The idea that Tammy had some oils and was using them maybe on her legs or not or whatever is absolutely no surprise whatsoever. And it's so inconsequential. I just don't even understand.
No. But the anemia... I just kept bringing that up. He's asking it over and over again. Well, did you know she had anemia? And it says, well, in her history, medical history, she had anemia. Doesn't even say it currently.
Right. But the one officer is like,
is that curable? Well, that depends on a lot of factors, dummy. Mm-hmm.
Well, and anyone else that tried to say anything about health things, he'd be like, you aren't a doctor. Neither are you.
But apparently he is. Yeah. But did you know that runners get anemia because long distance running actually changes the shape of your red blood cells. And so runners often get anemic and take an iron supplement for it. Mm-hmm. Our dear cousin Amy taught me that because she is a runner. And she said, oh, that's not unusual at all. She said, that happens with runners all the time. And she was training for F5K. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hello.
Also,
right, or anemic during a pregnancy, or
yeah,
had fibroids, or, you know, I mean, he wouldn't understand anemia because he's a man.
Mm-hmm.
And women generally have a lot of
experience. He's barely a lawyer, that's true.
Yes, and he's barely a lawyer. But, like, I think all the women were like, I mean, we've all been anemic here and there, haven't we?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. One thing we learned is that Tammy, on her last day on Earth, ate lunch with her teacher friends, and guess who? Seth, because he was substitute teaching at her school that day.
Yeah. Well, she was there at work, doing her job, you know, not sick and dying.
Yeah, and happy and fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So then they call up Detective Bruce Mattingly. He's with the Fremont County Sheriff's Office. And Mattingly, he was around during the unattended death. And, you know, heard all the things about that, you know, Tammy was reported by Chad to be fainting and passing out. And supposedly they had been at the temple a few weeks before. And when she stood up from the altar, she got dizzy and fainted. I would really, really like to see some witnesses on that, because everything Chad said was just only Chad who saw it.
Right. That's the thing. He wanted everyone to be taking Chad's word as gospel. He is the accused murderer. Okay. His word is not evidence at all.
Like, really? Constantly. Yeah. Well, and of course he had to do the whole, I don't know. It's like, I guess they have like a temple and they do a thing and it's like a ceremony or a something, or I don't really understand.
4 years to learn about this religion.
Mm-hmm.
4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And yes, kneeling over, you're right, Sherry, kneeling over an altar for a really uncomfortable amount of time. yeah. That could cut off the blood flow to your knees. Yeah.
Doesn't mean she's dying.
Right. Jesus. So Mattingly talks about the insurance policies. One of them, of course, is from the school. Now, Chad or Pryor was trying really hard to suggest with one of the teachers. He was hitting her up about how you work there for one probationary year, and then your next year you can increase your life insurance. And she had no idea.
He said that many times. He acts like it's just gospel.
Right.
I think he's just making that up.
Everyone he said that to were like, I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. I don't know what to say about that, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, but he did look into the insurance. We learned, I didn't think we heard a lot about the insurance today. There was Primerica had 300,000 and LifeMap had 130,000. LifeMap, John, LifeMap, not MapQuest, for the love of God. How many times?
It's just, there's not enough hours in the day for me to clip out all his faux pas, man.
MapQuest. He said it like 6 times. Yes.
Remember when he said,
call MapQuest.
What did he say instead of edema?
Oh, edema? Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, he got that wrong too. I was like, oh no.
Mm-hmm. Not so much. But Mattingly got into the meat of the Fitbit.
Yes.
We've been wondering about the Fitbit all these years. So apparently in the preliminary photos from the crime scene, because we also know that Mattingly let Allie Greenhalgh know that she needed to take a shit ton of pictures.
I died. I said, you can take the man out of St. Anthony, but
yep.
You can't take the St. Anthony out of the man. I about fainted when he said shit ton. That was hilarious. Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. That's very local Idaho. That's kind of language.
And way to go, Allie, because in your shit ton of pictures, you had a picture of a Fitbit on Tammy's nightstand.
Yeah.
And then weirdly, at some point during the day, guess what went missing? The Fitbit.
Yeah.
It's gone. But they were able to get the data from the Fitbit from, you know, Fitbit or MapQuest or whatever, you know. And
he doesn't know.
Yeah. So, and what did Fitbit show? It showed that Tammy most months was well above average in her movement and steps. All the things in the data from the Fitbit showed a very, very healthy person. And even the months that weren't at above average, they were right about average.
Yeah.
Again, the Fitbit showed a lot. But get this. Pryor starts this whole hitting up the cops about who contacted who. And, you know, because, well, we had Daddy Kaya Kamanu back on the stand today.
Yes.
And he said... Or was it him or Mattingly that was, they were supposed to contact Emma.
I can't remember.
And Emma refused to talk to them.
Oh, it was Mattingly.
It was Mattingly. She refused to talk to him, which is not a surprise at all. Like, at all. But apparently, they did talk to Emma's husband, Joseph Murray's parents. And they said... that they'd been having some kind of a fitness competition with their Fitbits. Now, this really gets wild because Pryor had already tried to claim that it really wasn't Tammy wearing the Fitbit. You can't
say
who wore the Fitbit. We have no idea. Was there
a Fitbit? You know, that it was all registered in her name with her birth date and her email address. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the stuff that you register a smartwatch or whatever with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for sure, it wasn't. It couldn't have been. Who would be wearing the Fitbit? There's no Fitbit anyway. So he says all of that, but then really contradicts himself in a really weird way. Because apparently the in-laws said that they were having some kind of a Fitbit competition with Tammy. And somehow late in the evenings, her steps would increase a lot. And well, she was really competitive. So they just weren't really sure. Really? Tammy was cheating? Uh-huh.
That was the implication.
Mm-hmm.
He called her fat.
Yep.
And then said she was cheating at Fitbit. I was like, are you doing?
Uh-huh. Oh, Donna, I could write a book about those people, about what the dad and the stuff that he posts online. I blocked him years ago because he is the most outrageous, egregious, yucky person, but I won't because I don't want to get, you know, have a thing with them. But yeah. Oh, he was aggressively defending Chad online for the longest time, even after the kids were found. They suck. Anyway, so what? Tammy's a liar now and cheats at Fitbit with the Fitbit she doesn't even have or wear.
Yeah, Fitbit. That wasn't even her Fitbit. But if it was, she was cheating. Mm-hmm. But see, that's Pryor's favorite thing to do is, well, he didn't do it. But if he did, it was because, you know, come on, dude, you can't have it both ways. Mm-hmm. Right, Wink? Tammy probably came home and did housework. Right. Why did it go up at night? Because she was cleaning that house. Because, you know, that jackass wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Hell, we don't know that she wasn't hitting the treadmill at night, you know?
Right.
She was like, super driven and maybe would get home at night and decide she wasn't happy with the amount of steps she had and go for it. Who knows? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, who speaks ill of the murder victim?
Right.
Like, really? Mm-hmm. Why? Tammy was completely innocent in this entire mess.
Yeah. So the little bits that we know about what was said about Tammy's health were basically only said by Chad and Emma, because Garth didn't really say anything. He just kind of sat and stared, according to pretty much everybody. Yeah, the day of Tammy's passing. But then when the police try to follow up with Emma, she refuses to speak to them. And Joseph refuses to speak to them. So now we have Pryor like, well, Emma's going to say this and Emma's going to say that. And Emma's going to, dude, you're making Emma out like a liar. Because you're already bringing all of these very believable, wholesome, trustworthy friends of Tammy's on the stand that are all saying the same thing. And then you're going to have Emma simpering in here trying to claim that her and Daddy knew that her health was really, really bad. And then why wasn't she at the hospital?
That was my question. If you were worried about your mother's health, you'd be loading her ass into the car and saying, we're going to the emergency room. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Y'all just sit there and let her die? Is that really what you want us to believe?
But here's a super fun way that Chad shit is in his own Cheerios. When he filled out the forms for the insurance, he said that Tammy's symptoms started on October 18th.
Yeah. Would you like to hear it or view it?
I think so.
Because this, I love Blake, man. Lindsay Blake is such a pro, and she has so many mic drop moments. It's awesome, but this is a really good one.
So it indicates when did the health first become impaired? Correct?
Correct.
And what was Chad's response again?
October 18th, 2019.
I have no further questions.
She'd been getting sick and weak for months. It's not what his application for her life insurance said.
At all.
And he filed his claim.
Weird, weird.
Yeah.
Chad shit in his own Cheerios. That's a horrible phrase, isn't it?
It is horrible, but it is exactly what happened. I mean, he filled out that form to file for the life insurance after Tammy died.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he said. And you know what that was? That was him telling on himself.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 100%. Wow. Yep. That's one of the lies he could not keep up on for sure. Yep. Oh, yeah, Fran. I had the same thought. She said, remember when Emma was on national television saying that law enforcement wouldn't talk to her or her siblings about the autopsy? Oh, yeah. She'd made it real public. They won't even let us know about our mothers. First, they didn't tell us that they exhumed her. Don't have to. And then they wouldn't even tell us about the autopsy. We have the police today saying we tried to discuss the autopsy with Emma, but she refused to speak to us.
Yeah.
Funny. Weird. Wow. Yeah. Okay, then. I have really tried to show Emma grace. I really, and I still have a lot of compassion for her.
I mean, we've lost our mom. We get it.
Right. It's horrifying. This is horrifying what her family's gone through. But I got to tell you, I don't have much left because this stuff looks really bad.
It does.
Where's Leah? You know, there's another daughter, Leah.
There is.
Darling, blonde girl, Leah. Leah hasn't said a word. Leah has been completely silent. Yeah. I don't know this to be true, but I'm going to assume that Leah has gotten some big distance.
I mean, it's not like she's been out screaming about her dad's, you know, innocence at all.
No.
And in all of this, you don't hear Pryor mentioned her name once today.
Yeah.
You don't hear much talk of her.
Mm-mm. I couldn't even remember her name until recently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So all of that, Pryor could not seem to understand why Mattingly had not tried to speak to Seth. Though he explained to him multiple times, or Garth, sorry, that he had not contacted Garth because he wasn't assigned to speak to Garth. That was someone else.
He refused to understand that part of how this works.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, he's saying that none of the kids were willing to talk to the police. And they had tried to contact them and they were refusing to speak to them. That's what they were saying. Yeah. Oh, Rhonda, we're all over it. We're with you. Yep. Down with Pryor. You guys were keeping a track today of exactly how many Legos, how many barefoot Legos Pryor needed to step on. And we did extend that also to Hot Wheels. And Lincoln Logs, because if you've never stepped on a Lincoln Log in the night, you haven't lived.
Ooh, ouch.
Mm. And some other things, but, you know, yeah.
Scorpions, yeah. I don't know.
Scorpions. And then, of course, we got back to Vince Kayakamanu on the stand so that we could go back to the infamous paintball gun fight. But we finally got a good look at Alex's gun. We've seen it before because we attended last year. You guys haven't because it's never been published before. So we got a screenshot. So I will show you. We showed you yesterday what roughly the gun would look like. I apparently also suck at electronics. Okay, here we go. So it is a 6.5 Grendel. So this is the picture we showed you last night of a 6.5 Grendel. One model. This also is a 6.5 Grendel. This was Alex's gun. This is the gun that they believe was used to shoot at Brandon. They believe was used to shoot at Tammy. It's not the gun that shot Charles. That was a handgun.
Yeah.
But this is the Grendel. This is it. So this is the gun that somehow Tammy, for at least part of the phone call to the police, thought might have been a paintball gun. So how do you confuse this with a paintball gun? Well, listener Jess sent us over a picture of a paintball gun that her husband shared with her that looks like this.
Yeah. Because the paintballs come from below instead of from up top.
From up top. The hopper goes down. You can see where it would screw in there at the bottom. Yeah. So why would you not confuse that with this if your experience has been with paintball guns? But also
it was dark.
It was dark. And I'm guessing no one has, you know, showed up in Tammy's driveway with a rifle and shot at her before. So I think there's two very plausible explanations to why she thought it was a paintball gun. Either she just did. She saw the gun. She didn't in her wildest dreams think that was a real gun in her driveway shooting at her because what? And she just went to paintball gun. Or the other very plausible explanation is that Chad said it.
Yep.
Somebody was shooting at her in the driveway. She yelled for her husband. He came running. He said, oh, honey, it was probably just a paintball gun. Describe it to me. Oh, yeah, that's definitely a paintball gun. Joseph comes over. Hears her scream. They talk about it. Oh, yeah, it was, paintball gun, kids in this neighborhood, right?
Yeah. Because it's not generally, and I'm not saying that there aren't women out there that would look at a gun and be able to know exactly what it is. I'm sure there are. But most elementary school librarians probably have, I would not know. I would not be able to look at that gun and know what it was. No way in hell would I know, you know? And yeah, would she really think that there's someone standing there with a rifle to shoot her? She doesn't have any reason to think that someone would do that.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. But Bethy, you make an awesome point, and I had the same thought. Obviously, Chad delayed Tammy in calling 911. Right. Why were there two 911 calls?
Right.
Why did Joseph call 911 at all? That was a dog shit call, for one thing. He couldn't remember his address or their address or they have enough service.
He was gargling something. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But then later Tammy called. Why did he call at all?
Yeah.
And why didn't she call immediately?
Yeah.
I agree that that was Chad in
action. Interestingly, she called and said, I just wanted to make sure this was reported. As though she wasn't sure old Joseph was going to be up for the task. The way she said it, I was like, yeah.
So there was some conversation earlier amongst us, not in the in court, but about whether or not they ever found any shells in the front yard. Because then we know in January, the FBI basically raided Chad's house and came out with a lot of electronics and various things.
Yeah.
And they were out there with metal detectors around the garage door.
Digging around in the snow.
Digging around in the snow. They had metal detectors, they had rakes, they had shovels. They did a bunch of digging around. These are screenshots from a video that East Idaho News had taken. And from looking at that, it looked to me like they did pull some things up. Were they what they were looking for? We don't know.
We don't know. It's never really been reported that we've seen officially. There was no shell casing in Lori's trial. So yeah, we don't know.
Yep. But they sure were looking, obviously, for that very thing when they were digging around in the snow. So that was pretty much it for today.
Oh, I have one more video.
Oh.
This is the portion of the 911 call that Pryor left out yesterday. And I feel like it's important. It's right at the end of the 911 call, and you're kind of already spinning with everything she said. I wanted us to listen to it by itself, because I think it's really important, because it's all been said that she said it was a paintball gun. That's not all she said. Listen to this.
When he went behind my house and it's so dark out here, and I just went in the house and got my husband and son, and then they went out and looked, and he was long gone by then.
Okay.
So he was on the north side of my house is where he went to get away.
Okay.
He didn't say anything, or he just kept at, like he was holding the gun like he was, you know, had a rifle and just shooting at me. So, but nothing.
Yeah.
He had a rifle and he was shooting at me. And it was so dark. And guys, this is out in the country. There's no street lights out there.
No.
It was dark. All she saw was the outline of a gun. And you think about the Grendel and you think about the paintball gun. That's all she could see was the outline of a gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's cool, Macy. Thank you. She said, we're listed on Reddit as a reliable and important source of info on Lori Vallow Reddit. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, much appreciated. We
love
do everything
it.
We can to be.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think that that solidifies more for me that it was Chad trying to float the whole paintball gun thing more than anybody.
Right.
Yeah. But yes, Joe said he saw somebody running away. Well, he probably did, because I believe that in the geofencing, they said that Alex's truck was at the church.
Right. Yeah, the church ran back behind their house and had to run somewhere out of there to get back to a vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if his truck was at the church, that is, I'm going to say 2 or 3 country miles.
Yeah, maybe it's a ways. That many.
At least 2. Yeah. At least 2. Yeah. So, right. But Pam, it's a good question. Did Joe see someone running away? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know.
I think that Joe, they're all pretty suggestible people. Mm-hmm. And so I think whatever Chad said is probably what the rest of them said. And if it were me and I don't know how to identify a gun, and my husband said, oh, that was probably a paintball gun, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, it probably was. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure Tammy didn't know.
Yeah.
But she saw the outline of a gun and a man dressed all in black mm-hmm. holding a rifle, shooting it at me, is what she said.
Yeah. Yep. Donna said it's 2 miles. Okay. Yeah. It is, however, a very, very busy road. But if he was all in black and had a black mask on and it was dark, he might have slipped all the way back there and nobody would
see him. It's not like there's a bunch of lights. There's not.
No.
There's the blinking light at the corner.
Yeah. Also, because it's out in the country and it's here, you might have seen somebody with a gun and not thought another thing about it.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been a red flag. So it's even possible that people did see him driving away or running down the road or walking down the road with that gun and didn't think twice about it either.
Yeah.
So who knows? Right. And maybe somebody picked him up. We don't know. I kind of doubt it only because he did leave his vehicle at the church. So I'm guessing he walked. But
Yeah.
So there we go. Well, Teresa, I'm really curious about the whooshes because we haven't heard a word yet about the whooshes.
Yeah. They talked about that Maury's trial.
Maureen Laurie's, yeah. That she heard a couple of whooshes, which would have been consistent with the silencer. And that perhaps the gun jammed. Yeah. Or he shot and missed because he was bad at the killing. So who knows?
He was terrible. Mm-hmm. He really needed to be like practically point blank to get anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we know he'd been out at the gun range practicing too.
Yeah.
Poor old Homer J. Maximus. He wasn't up to much.
Luckily.
Yeah.
So that was it for today, except for that there was a hearing. And so the jury got to go home. Here. The jury also was told not to come in until 9 tomorrow. Because the judge is going to be ready to issue his rulings in the morning from the hearing today. So the jury won't be back until 9, but we'll actually, I'm assuming, be back at 8:30 because that should still be a public hearing. So we do believe we'll hear that. And then the hearing. And so I was very distracted and it was all mush to me, but you have a handle on it. So please
The first part of the hearing is that they were determining who is the designated victim for everybody, which basically it doesn't mean that other people aren't victims. What it means is this is who can put in a victim impact statement at the end of the trial. Yeah. And really the only change was that Annie Cushing is now Tylee's designated
victim. Representative. Yeah.
And it was Summer before. Now it's Annie. And then Kay, of course. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a lot other than that they switched that out. But then we got the answer to a question we have had since, early March, where there was a filing in Chad's iCourt about the Tammy statement.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is the Tammy statement? Trying to get that in. There was a motion in limine about it. Mm-hmm. It was sealed, so we didn't know what it was. So they actually addressed three witnesses that the prosecution is trying to get the judge to allow in and make an exception to the hearsay rules around. And these are some interesting things.
Yeah.
Is the judge going to go for it? I don't know. I mean, they have to determine, does it qualify for an exception to the hearsay rule? And is it important enough that the importance of the information outweighs the prejudice to the defendant, basically. It's a lot more complicated than that, but that's my dumbed down, this is how I understand it version.
Right. I mean, there were a bunch of statutes, a bunch of things that they would have to pass. They felt like they did. Yeah.
They did. And, Rocky Wixom, he did a great job on this, and he's been a little to me, but he did a really good job on this, and he had cited a bunch of other cases and, you know, various things. So it was very interesting.
This was the best Wixom was today. It really was. The best he's been the whole time. He was fantastic.
He really knew his shit here. So let's talk about this. So first we have Janice Olson, who was a teacher friend, a school employee friend of Tammy's, who said that in passing one day, Tammy had told her that her husband wants her to up her life insurance.
Yeah.
And we do know that did in fact happen. So this is pretty interesting because it goes to motive and it goes to conspiracy. Like, it's pretty key to, she didn't say, I'm going to up my life insurance. She said, my husband wants me to up my life insurance. They did that. She was killed. He got the life insurance. And now he is charged with insurance fraud because he can't murder somebody and then get their life insurance. So that was pretty interesting. And it was just a statement in passing. It wasn't like a, it was just something Tammy said, but it was the way she said it that struck this woman, that she said, I need to tell you this because this seems like it might be significant.
Yeah.
So then we have Janet Anderson, another school employee, and she overheard a conversation Tammy had with another school employee where Tammy said, my husband called me a zombie. And she said, I told him I'm not a zombie and laughed it off. But that word, the reason I think that will get in is because of that word.
Yep.
That word has such a very specific meaning in this case. You know, that, and she clearly didn't really understand what it meant. Tammy didn't. She said, the witness says she just kind of laughed it off. But now I know about all this insane zombie stuff. He called her a zombie and she told a teacher friend about it.
Yeah.
So there's that. But again, this is all hearsay. That's like third party hearsay.
Right. Which so we have no idea if the jury's going to get to hear that or not.
We don't know. But knowing it ourselves makes me want to, you know, do the thing. But very interesting. And then the last one, Pam Peebles. 2 days before Tammy's death, Pam Peebles said, Tammy told her, this is the best I've ever felt in my life, and I'm getting ready for this big race.
Yep.
2 days before she supposedly just got the consumption and died.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting because somebody who's in terrible medical health is certainly not going to just say that in passing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if any of them will get in. I mean, it's pretty significant. It's a pretty significant ruling on the part judge's part to override those hearsay rules. I think the zombie one, very interesting because that word has such a heavy meaning.
Yeah.
In this case, I kind of think it might be the most likely one, but I'm not an attorney. So I don't know. But to hear that he called her that to her face, and now all of us know exactly what that meant. And then not long after that, she died and was killed. It's horrifying.
Yeah. Yep. Really loved that Wixom said in his follow-up statement to the judge on that, that Mr. Pryor makes a good argument, but he'll lose it. And here's why.
He did. He did great. And he did great with Pryor. But, you know, Pryor was just a lot of huffing and puffing. And this isn't fair. He did not come back with precedent.
No.
He did not come back with citations of any kind. No. He mostly just mentioned that all of this came too close to the trial. You know how Pryor's always bitching, I got this at 4:27 p.m., blah, 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 you know, whatever. That's pretty much what his was. Yeah. He was bitching about that and the potential damage that it could do to Chad. But hey, you can't just exclude information from a trial because it's damaging to the defendant. If that were the case, that those autopsy photos would never have gotten in. And that was one of Rocky Wixom's arguments.
Yeah.
Is that this precedent is already set with things like that. Crime scene photos, autopsy photos, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was really, really interesting. I don't know if any of it's getting in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope so.
Yeah. There was some kind of a conversation about 404B amongst all of that.
Yes.
And Pryor said to the judge, like, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
He said, judge, 404B doesn't apply to the defense. It only applies to the prosecution. And there's a good reason why. Do you think the judge is 7 years old? The way he said that, I was like,
Do you think
that the judge just has dreams about just scissor kicking him? Because it was so condescending to speak to the judge that way. I was like. Yeah.
And Pryor, I mean, Boyce is so much smarter than Pryor. It's just funny. And the judge said it was more likely that 403B would apply, not 404B. And, you know, there was a bunch of stuff that went back and forth, but. We will see. Yeah. I am very curious to see if some of this gets in because that's some pretty damning stuff. And two of these statements were recently made during trial prep.
Uh-huh.
And Rocky Wixom said, I realize that this is short notice, but I thought it would be better to do this here than have a witness we know is going to say that on the stand, say it before we've ruled on it.
Yeah.
So he said, Pryor, I'm actually doing you a favor telling you that one of our witnesses is going to say that. Yeah. Yeah.
We're doing this correctly. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I know. I really appreciated that.
And yes, Rocky gave Pryor a compliment. And of course, Pryor had to brag about it and thank him for saying that on national television.
Well, yeah, because he was saying, well, obviously, you know, Mr. Pryor is doing a great job of defending his client. So. You
except
know,
for he if he's got well a problem prepared. With any of this.
He did
well
say
prepared?
Prepared.
We
all know that's
a bunch
of bullshit.
How many breaks do we have to take because he can't figure out how to use a jump drive?
Yeah. Well, it's
wouldn't
this.
Call it well prepared.
It's this right here.
I'm an idiot when it comes to electronics.
Yeah. In a lot of situations.
Yeah, Wixom definitely presented both sides of the argument. Wixom was really well-spoken and prepared.
And yeah, it was great.
That's how you speak to Judge Boyce. Judge Boyce wants case law. He wants precedent. He's not going to be a veteran. He's made that very clear in every hearing we've ever seen with him. He's the guy who will call a recess and go research something himself before he rules.
For an hour. We've seen it many times.
Yeah, because he wants to be sure. And he will come back with what? Lots of case law.
Yeah.
So I thought Wixom did an excellent job.
He'll come back with all the details about why he can or cannot go for this. Mm-hmm. It's really, he's great that way. And he's said he's going to research it tonight. Poor guy. Probably just wants to go home.
Right.
Go to his hotel and sleep and not have to listen to Pryor's voice for a while. Mm-hmm. But.
You're right, VC. That's where Pryor went wrong. He was looking for a case law on MapQuest.
Yeah, I think he was. Because he didn't cite anything. Mm-hmm. And Wixom did a bunch. Like, come on. If you're really going to fight the fight, fight it. But he just bitched about not having enough time again, which is his fallback. And Boyce hates that fallback.
Yeah.
I think we all know it. I don't know if Pryor does, but the rest of us know.
Right. He's like, we've had 4 years. Yeah. 4 years. The time's up, bro. It's just up. Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Yep. So let's see. Somebody said something I wanted to respond to. Oh, Tom wanted to know, do we think that the trial is going to take longer than they planned for?
No.
Yeah. I don't either.
I think Pryor is really full of himself when it's, I'm going to present blah, 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 blah. The prosecution is going to present way more than Pryor does. Mm-hmm. I really don't think it's going to take longer.
Yeah.
He's really full of bluster, but I don't think when it comes down to it, it's going to be that much.
No. And Heather, I'm with you. I think some of Chad's kids are obviously sipping the sauce here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I just can't even imagine when Emma's, you guys, Emma on the stand.
That is going to be a day to go down in infamy, I'm pretty sure.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine. They plan on 10 weeks.
Yeah.
8 to 10. I don't think Chad will testify. No.
No. Oh, that was the other thing. That was Pryor's other argument, was the whole thing about the friend saying that Chad asked Tammy to up her life insurance. Uh-huh. Pryor said the only way to impeach that would be for Chad to have to testify. And that is a violation of his constitutional rights because he does not have to testify. And that's when Rocky Wixom gave him the compliment and said, Your Honor, there are a lot of ways for Mr. Pryor to impeach that testimony. We've seen him do it. He's very vigorous in his cross-examination, is what I think he said. And, you know, he's like, hey, Chad doesn't have to testify. He can, you know, impeach this if he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Chad puts the belligerent. Or, sorry, Pryor puts the belligerent in belligerent turd circus, doesn't he?
He really does. And, you know, one thing that we've talked about all along is that Tammy has been the breadwinner in this situation. Tammy has been the level head. So is Tammy the bad guy in most situations with her kids and her husband? Has it been that he's the Disneyland dad and that she has had to put her foot down and be like, yeah, we can't actually afford that, you know? I think it's very likely because they, at least the ones that are talking at any point, are supporting him. And it does make you wonder why.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why.
Yeah. Heather, it's a great question, and I will tell you why. She said, how can they say that Tammy died of natural causes when Lori has already been convicted of conspiring to kill her? The reason why is because Lori's conviction can't be discussed in this trial.
Yeah. That's also, Lori's conviction was on conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Chad is charged with first degree murder of Tammy and conspiracy. And
conspiracy. Yeah.
So he's charged with the actual physical act of murder. Lori wasn't.
Yeah.
And they're not allowed to talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I cannot wait to see Heather Daybell on the stand. I'm only assuming she will be. We don't know. I hope so.
I hope so. I don't know. I don't know who's coming, but there's more coming. I mean, these ladies that he talked about, we don't know who any of these people are. So
I love them so much. So much. No, I just want to send crumble over to Tammy's school
friends.
Right?
Yeah. Like, you all are amazing. Because they are. Yeah.
I was so proud of them today and just went, Tammy's girls came up big for her.
They did.
I love it.
You could tell that they loved her. Mm-hmm. And are horrified by this.
Yep. So tomorrow we pick up with, let's see. Did they release Kaya Kamanu? No, I can't remember.
No, they didn't.
They didn't.
I think so Kaya Kamanu will be back on the stand.
With Kaya Kamanu in the morning.
It all happened kind of abruptly.
Yeah, it did.
But it was sort of like the time dawned on everyone that, oh no, they have to do this other hearing because the judge had forgotten to tell Kaya Kamanu we could leave the stand.
Oh, that's right.
And Lindsay Blake was like, Your Honor, we do still have a witness on the stand. Do you want to tell him he can go?
He's just kind of sitting there like,
I'm still here. Yeah, so I think we'll be back with Kaya Kamanu in the morning.
We don't know if there's court on Friday. I'm going to assume there is. We haven't been told otherwise. But at first they said there wouldn't be court on Friday. So we don't know. We don't have it scheduled yet. We thought we'd hear for sure tomorrow and schedule it, obviously, on our end. But there will not be court on Tuesday. Apparently, they have some staff scheduling issues, and they're not going to be able to have court on Tuesday next week. So he announced that today so that the jurors knew they had a day off in case there were, you know, things they needed to do on a day off, which I thought was cool of him. The judge is an interesting manager, you know, because he's managing the jury. He's managing their time. He and his staff are managing all of their needs, you know, mm-hmm. ordering their food, making sure they get from point A to point B, know when to be here, when to not be here. Like tomorrow, mm-hmm. they don't have to come in until 9, even though court, mm-hmm. I believe, will still start at 8:30. But yeah. I think he's doing a really great job trying to be really, really careful about the jury's time and mm-hmm. about their needs. You figure you have 18 people sitting there. Somebody always needs to pee, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he's very aware of them. And that was true in Lori's trial, too. It was mm-hmm. cool. Because yeah. they're the most important people in the room. Yeah. That's what this entire thing is for. And sometimes it's hard. You forget with all the bantering back with the attorneys and everything that's happening. This whole thing is for a group of people we can't even see.
Yeah.
All of this is for them and really no one else.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wondered that too, Donna, because there is the memorial in Idaho Falls on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible that they won't have court on Friday? Here's the thing. If you are being called to testify and you haven't testified yet, you better not be there. This memorial, while I totally understand it and I understand doing it, the timing of it is...
It's not a great.
A bit of a challenge because if, yeah. for anyone... who is subpoenaed that isn't a direct family member, they better not go to that memorial because even being there could look like some kind of impropriety.
Oh, yeah.
Because how do you go there and not accidentally talk to somebody? Yeah. I think it's a little, the timing to me is a little bit problematic. And maybe I'm completely wrong. I would be happy to be wrong. But I agree that I'm sure some people will want to be there that are obviously mm-hmm. going to be in Boise up to that point. But so we'll see. Yeah. I don't know, Donna, am I right or wrong? Do you think I'm being dramatic? Maybe I am, but it worries me.
I kind of think you're right though, because they're not supposed to be seen, you know, yeah. they shouldn't be fraternizing basically with anybody that has testified or is going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right, Don. It's not on purpose. I'm
sure. Oh, yeah, it's not. Certainly not malicious in any way. But yeah, that's the only thing that worries me because, you know, obviously Pryor is going to look for any reason to impeach any witness. And that it's going to be live streamed. And, well, who knows? Will Pryor have somebody there? Hell, I don't know. And again, maybe I'm just being really over the top, but... I would really hate to see good witnesses that end up not getting to testify because...
Oh, I think he'd try to get anybody thrown out that he could.
I do too. It just worries me. This is the reason why for 4 years I have not reached out to Brenda Dye. Because I felt like anything any of us do that could look like impropriety, that could be meddling, that could be having a conversation that shouldn't be had, don't do it. Just don't ever do it.
Never, never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the teachers can't be there. The ones that are still under subpoena.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's all. Those are my thoughts. I always see kind of the abundance of caution in this stuff because we've seen it happen in other cases where people end up impeached from testimony or impeached or not allowed to testify because of stupid stuff. And I don't want to see that. And by God, I want to see Melanie Pawlowski on the stand. Melanie, you better not. You better not be effing up this time.
No.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Oh, they're all saying Chad is the great value prophet, or he is the he is the wish cult leader. Agreed. Agreed. I know. He attracts a very specific kind of person. And I think if you think about Mel G, mm-hmm. and you think about David Warwick, mm-hmm. and you think about Audrey.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very specific type of person.
Yeah. Yep. No, the teachers wouldn't have known the kids, but people in this area have fallen in love with these kids and have their hearts have bled for the last 4 years over the deaths of these kids.
And here it's just like all of them are kind of in one group now.
They were all our kids, you know,
yeah.
since, you know, the people that they were. That we're supposed to love and protect them and take care of them, killed them. And so this entire community, so many people, the kids mean something to them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I thought about something earlier I wanted to share with you guys about Chad and his neighbors, because I'm still wondering if we're going to get some neighbors on the stand. So the lady across the street where the memorial was set up, and somebody pointed out the memorial is down, and you're right, I went out there and double checked, it's gone. I don't know if they'll put it back up for sentencing, that's what they did last time, or if it's just down, I don't know. But there were some ladies here in Rexburg when the kids were missing, and Lori was just, you know, being extradited back here from Hawaii, that had printed a whole bunch of t-shirts that said, "Where are the kids?" And they were taking these t-shirts out in the country, out on Chad's Road. So Chad's Road is called the Salem Highway, and it's a really busy road. And there's a lot of cars, and it's a very fast highway for us. You know, it's a country highway, but it's a fast one and a dangerous highway. And they were going to all of the light poles all around Chad's house and nailing these t-shirts up that say, "Where are the kids?" Just basically to put some pressure on Chad and to troll him. Yeah. And they had spoken to the lady across the street from Chad and asked if they could put this on her light pole. Well, it's not really hers, you know, anyway, but she told him sure. But she was concerned about what was going on here. We have missing children. What the hell is Chad doing? Tammy has died. Like, you know, people in that area were starting to really, most of them, smell a rat.
Yeah.
So they put up the shirt. Later that day, this lady, and she's quite elderly, looked out the window, and guess who's out there trying to tear that shirt off the light pole? Chad had been going around all out there and pulling all of these shirts down and throwing them away. And she marched out there and read him for filth and told him to get the hell off of her property. And she wouldn't let him pull that shirt down, and it remained. Yeah. I just still think about her and what a baddie she was. And then unfortunately for that sweet lady, you know, a few months later, it was discovered that those poor children were dead on that property that she was looking across at every day.
Yeah.
But I was so, that story just cracks me up. Again, it is the ladies coming up big.
It is. Yeah.
Right? The best. That's who I want to be. Yeah. But she had no problem fighting Chad. I mean, who would have problem fighting Chad? But guys, how would you fight Chad? The man is meek. He is humble. And he is deeply religious.
Right. I still know how to kick him in the nuts. I don't care. And if he's meek, he won't even try to stop me, right?
Right. Right.
I mean, I'm short, but I can kick that high. For sure.
I've heard the storm is really nothing but a sprinkle.
It's not really anything to be worried about. Yeah. It's true.
No, it'll be fine. Yeah. All right. Well, we've probably done it because we're going to be back here in exactly 12 hours. So,
oh, good Lord. Yes, we are.
And I did notice that my husband was making dinner. So,
oh, well,
bless him. So we're going to go. Thanks you guys so much for being here. Thank you for all of your support. We appreciate you more than we can ever say. If you want to tip us or support us in any other way, you can go to truecrimesquad.com. There's several ways to tip us there. Also, our Etsy store is there. You could buy merch there if you want to do that. Some of you sure have been. And we've been making hoodies like nobody's business over here. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah. So thank you.
Well, and the super chat is always on too here on YouTube. Yeah. That's a great way to do it too.
Yep. But we do appreciate you very much. And also never required. Never required. Just appreciated. But we appreciate you, and we'll be back tomorrow to see what joys tomorrow brings. I'm a little afraid, yes, but I'm actually so glad we're done with poor Brenda. Now that's over.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. All righty, guys. This has been yet another production of the True Crime Squad. Take care.
Bye, everybody.